Everything I'm preaching, I'm not just preaching this, I'm exercising faith. This is a whole progression that started with an assignment, time, habitation, and everything God's given. I utilize every one of these revelations for the faith to enter into brand new places in God. You can't enter in the new places of God without a revelation. If you get a revelation, God open your eyes, you can see. If you can see it, you can have it. Amen? Some things you have to inhabit. It's not good enough just to see it from a distance. People just want to see. You have to inhabit what you're seeing. Amen? That's where the glory is at, is when you can actually inhabit it. Amen? Say inhabit. And that's going to take faith. That takes more than just a gift. You have to move there by faith. And so I want to move back just in for a moment. Revelations 1, in beginning there in verse 4, he has the introductions from the Trinity. And John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him who was, or for him which is, which was, and which what is to come. That is the Father from the seven spirits of God that are before his throne. That is the Holy Spirit and from Jesus Christ. So you have the three there. But then the Lord actually calls himself the same thing, because he dwells with his Father in this. In verse 8, he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. This is the Lord speaking. He goes, which is, which was, and which is what was to come. So we're seeing the revelation of God this way. You have to know God in this way in order to move with him the way he wants us to move with him in the last days. He wants us to move with him where he is and in that realm that is to come. Amen? And we're beginning to understand more and more and more about this realm. And then see, the Lord appears to John in his resurrected state and heard a trumpet talking with him. And he said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I want you to notice one verse here as we move on. I want you to see this one verse 16. He that has in his right hand the seven stars. The stars were, they called them angels, but they weren't angels. John wasn't writing to angels. There was messengers. I think the word was apaleos. It's messengers. Same word. He said, I'll send my messenger, John, before your face. He said, these messengers, they're stars. Amen. Say, I'm a star. You're a messenger. You're a star. You know what they do? They dwell in the heavenlies. That's where their light shineth, in the right hand of God. Amen. He held him in his right hand. And he said, in his countenance was as the sun that shineth in his strength. I just want you to remember that for a minute, because we're going to look into the transfiguration and why this actually happened. I don't really ask this. He just shares this with me. I mean, I wasn't seeking him why the transfiguration happened. I wasn't sitting there meditating. Now, I used to do that. I used to meditate whole books. I'd spend hours, like Book of Romans. I read it through 100 times over and over and over again. That's how I learned to meditate, whole books. You meditate in context, and then the revelation would come. But now, these days, you can just sit and just wait on it, which is awesome. Everybody's in a hurry to go nowhere. The more you rest, the more you get. Amen? I'm not talking about rest in your body. I'm talking about rest in the spirit. The more you enter into God, you'll slow down. God will slow you down. You'll find out the world doesn't need you near as much as you think it does. Amen? And God doesn't need the part of your flesh as near as much as you think it does. And the more of your flesh you sow, the more of it you'll reap. And I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about human sufficiency. You start getting entangled, there's no end to it. The enemy will pull you out. You don't understand. I've been around this mountain with the enemy so long, I can sense him immediately. I know him, but a lot of times you don't know how he works against you. You don't realize. You think it's just you. There are spiritual forces meant to offset your life, to move you out of alignment, to move you out of alignment so they can fill you with their system. And you have to understand how to stay in alignment. Your chief responsibility is what Moses told the children of Israel before going over the Jordan. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. Keep these words. Don't let them go. He said 35 times, keep the words, 41 times. I think 35 times cleave to the Lord, 41 times keep his words. Don't let go. And so we want to look at the mystery of the transfiguration. It's very powerful. Just want you to see that with John. This wasn't actually John's first trip. I thought it was his first trip. This wasn't his first trip. But I knew that what happened to John in the book of Revelation happened to the Lord. I just knew it. I mean, we saw different things. He could sit on the mountain. He could watch them from a distance. We could see him operating. But I knew he had functioned in this with his Father. And I just didn't see it till yesterday morning. And tonight, we're going to see it. Amen? And we'll say, open mine eyes. Spirit of wisdom and revelation. The eyes of my heart be flooded with light. Amen? James 1, he said, every good gift and perfect gift, which is from above, it cometh down from the Father of what? Lights. Say, Father of lights. Then he says, God is light. When it says God is love, he's love. God is light. Say, God is light. And he is love. It's marvelous light. He said he calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's not just being born again. He can call you out of the darkness of your circumstance into the marvelous light of his answer. He can call you out of the darkness of the systems of the world that control, that seek to control your life into the marvelous light. Amen? But God's solution, if you want to write anything down, God's solution is always from above. It's not where you are. If you try to hear from God in the midst of your confusion, your soul is only going to manifest something for you. God doesn't speak in confusion. He speaks out of peace. He speaks from the realm of love. You got to learn to get out of that realm if you're going to hear from him. A lot of people try to hear from him and their soul tells them what they want to hear. And if you move on that, that won't be good. Amen. There's a lot of people, I'm hearing like four or five people really need to hear from the Lord and you're in desperate situation. But desperate situation does not move God's voice. Just because you're desperate doesn't move him. You have to understand that he's been already moved. He was moved for your desperation 2,000 years ago. His solution has already been settled. But so you have to come out from the realm of desperation and come into the realm. You can have peace in the middle of desperate circumstances. You got to come out from it. That's why you want to learn the faith. You want to learn to come out. You have to learn to come out. Now that I learn to live in these realms, I'm like, God, how can these preachers live without, because I know a lot of preachers don't have a clue how to do this. They just get beat up all the time. You escape into the peace and the rest and the glory of God. You escape into his amazing love. You escape now into his amazing light. Amen. Call me, Father. Say, put your hand and say, call me, Father, out from the darkness into your marvelous light. Somebody said, well, I'm not in darkness. You have no idea until you get into God what darkness is. Everyone looks at darkness as a deep hole of sin. Darkness, you can be overshadowed with depression. He'll call you out. You can be busy and overshadowed with busyness. He'll call you out. Amen. Into this marvelous light. Listen, what everyone needs more than anything is light. That's where wisdom dwells. She dwells in the light of the Father. You want wisdom that can see. Father, put your hand over your heart. Say, Father, grant my eyes and my heart the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That flood the eyes of my heart with light. You should pray that every single day. That prayer, grant me spirit of wisdom and revelation. The eyes of my heart be flooded with light. You should pray that prayer. You should pray the dunamis prayer of chapter 1 and chapter 3. You should pray that every single day. Pray it 5 times. If you're not praying, you're not connecting. I don't care what anybody says. If you're not connecting, you don't have the life, the wisdom, the grace line flowing. Therefore, the enemy will automatically shroud you over and you won't know he shrouds you over. I have never met a person shrouded to this day that believes they're shrouded. Never have I ever met a person that's shrouded that believes they're veiled. All right, so go to Matthew 17. Well, notice what happens. They go up in the mount after 6 days after the number of man, God shows up. And Jesus, he takes Peter, James, and John. These guys are always witnessing him doing the big stuff. They're always there. He raised the dead. They were there. He brought them in. They were there in the garden with him. And he bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. And verse 2, he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun. How did his face shine? as the Son. What did John see him in verse 16? It says, this countenance was the sun shining in his strength. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. White as the light. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elijah talking with him. And then Peter, he speaks up. He didn't know what to do. Actually, it's in another translation, he said he was afraid. He didn't know what to do. He just started talking. Listen, if you start talking when you're afraid, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. When you're in that kind of glory, God's probably not asking your opinion. I'm pretty sure he wasn't asking Peter's opinion, but Peter said, let us make three tabernacles. One for Moses, one for Elijah, one for Christ. And the Bible says, it says, and when he had thus spake, while he was speaking, the Father was enveloped in the Lord in this bright cloud of glory. It was the Holy Spirit, but the Father had come down on this mountain. And he was enveloping the Lord. And the disciples, as you'll see, if you'll actually look over at Luke 9, look what happens here. They're actually asleep when God comes down on the mountain. They're praying. Look at verse 29. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. The raiment was white as glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, Moses and Elias, which appeared to him in glory. They came into his glory. The disciples were not there where these guys were. They were on the mountain. It's kind of like being in the boat. They're in the storm. You're in the same boat, but you're in two different places. Remember, the Lord was sleeping. The disciples were all full of fear and unrest. Same thing. They're there, but the glory, they'd fell asleep. But it really, it's talking about the same glory when he put Adam to sleep. You remember? He put Adam to sleep and he made this amazing, most amazing creation of all. When he put Adam asleep, the woman. You should say amen. Listen, God needed to put us asleep to make such a great creation. Otherwise, we'd have tried to help him out. What happens, what he's actually doing this here, is he's overshadowing them. Same thing with Abraham. Right before he cut the covenant, all the birds would come down, and God said, Abraham, I don't need your help here. Certain things in God, when you're dealing in the realms of God, you'll try to go help God out. And the birds came down. Abraham got up to try to shoo him away and said, Abraham, I don't need your help. And he, in a deep sleep and a terror of darkness came over him. It was the glory of God that overshadowed him and put him in a trance-like state where he was there, but God was doing everything. Same thing happened to Daniel when the Lord appeared to him in Daniel chapter 10. He fell on his face into a deep sleep. And the realms of glory, and the Lord showed me this in the realm, because this is what happened to the disciples. When the glory came on the mountain, they started praying. The glory of the Father come down. And he caught the Lord up in the glory and he transfigured him into the light, into the glory of God. And Elijah and Moses walked in and they're talking to the Lord. Well, the disciples, they had fell heavy to sleep. The word sleep there is hypnos. What we get our word hypnosis. Listen, hypnosis, anything the enemy does, he's always counterfeiting God. And all he does is stupid hypnosis that he does. I mean, people snapping your fingers. Only people subject to demons will buy into that. When God does it, he'll put you in a trance-like state, like he put Peter in a trance-like state, and he showed him the reason why he was about to unload on the Gentiles, this glory on the Gentiles, and he had to give it to Peter, and he saw the blanket come down with the four-footed animals and the hooked animals, and three different times, but Peter was in a trance when he was showing this to him. He says, rise and eat. And he goes, no, not so. Not so, Lord. Not so. And he said, listen, Peter, you gotta get what I'm trying to say to you. What you consider unclean, I have now made clean. The gospel's got to come to the Gentiles. He had to put him in a trance to get that over to him. That's what God does. Sometimes he's got to get you out of the way. In the realms of God, it's okay to be put out of the way. These guys weren't ready. They weren't where Elijah and Moses was. Elijah and Moses was caught up in the Father with the Lord. And they were all up in the glory. So they appeared to him in his glory. Amen? But the disciples, they were deep sleep. That hypnosis of spirit, hypnosis fell upon them. And they were caught up, but they were in that deep sleep. But there's that glory that fell over them. God was getting them out of the way. Why? Because he knew what Peter was going to do. So watch what happens here. And he prayed, and his countenance was altered. Verse 29, Luke 9, second page. His raiment was white, his glistening. And behold, There talked with him two men, Moses and Elijah. And he appeared, they who appeared with him in glory. They appeared with him. They were caught up in the glory of the Father. And spake, look at this. And they spake of his decease, which he should accomplish in Jerusalem. We'll get to that in a minute. And Peter and they that were with him were heavy with Holy Spirit-induced hypnosis. And when they were awake, they saw his glory. The whole time when they start praying, let me show you what was happening here. They start praying. Holy Spirit takes these three disciples and induces them in the Spirit with like a hypnotic state of sleep. When they did that, then the glory shows up. And God the Father comes down on the mountain and he catches the Lord up into this glory and he transfigures him into his resurrected state, which I'm going to talk to you about in a minute. And then Moses and Elijah enter into that resurrected state because they represent law and prophets that were bearing witness of the one. They were standing with him, bearing a witness of his resurrection. They were standing in the midst of his glory. The disciples over here, they're laid out. You know, they're in a Holy Spirit-induced place of like Holy Spirit hypnosis, the only thing I can say it is Holy Spirit induced. And so they awake out of the glory and they're kind of like, you know, have you ever been under a heavy glory and you wake up and you're just halfway there and you're, and they go, what is that? And they see, in fact, Moses and Elijah in speaking and they're walking off and Peter sees the glory of God on the Lord. He sees this resurrected Savior standing in front of him now. And he goes, whoa, let us make three tabernacles. Come back, Moses. Come back, Elijah. Let's tabernacle all of you. And then this glory that was on the Father, this Father, the glory that was on the Lord, it moved. That bright cloud that the Lord was caught up into, the two witnesses appeared, it moved over to the disciples. Because they weren't in that yet. They weren't where he was yet. Amen? They were still where they were. And then all of a sudden this glory comes over them, this bright glory. I'm telling you, this is going to start happening. You might as well know this. Just don't ask for tabernacles to be built, praise God. And Peter and they were heavy with sleep. When they're awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. And it came to pass as they departed, Peter said, let us make three tabernacles. Verse 34. And while he thus spake, that's why you got to read every one of them to find out what's happening here. Because you still haven't really know what's happening here. But I'm going to tell you what's happening here. And when he thus spake, there came a cloud that was a bright cloud. Matthew called the bright cloud of glory and overshadowed them. Say overshadowed them. And they feared, they trembled as what? As they what? They entered into this same glory that was manifesting upon the Lord and into bringing him into a resurrected state. They entered into this resurrection, this cloud of resurrection glory. Amen. Now they're in this cloud. Now they're exceedingly quaking. Now they're exceedingly fearing. And then God speaks to Peter right out of this cloud. The Father speaks. Peter said, we heard his majestic voice. We heard him. We bear witness. We have a more sure word of prophecy. They were just prophesying it. It was confirmed with us. We saw him in his glory. We saw him in his resurrection. We saw him. The Father spake out of it. What he's saying is, listen, this is my beloved Son. Everything's shifting to him. The law and the prophets, they were of an order that was foreshadowed. Hear him. Hear him. This is my heir. This is the one I'm with. Amen. They were caught up in that glory for a moment. Isn't that amazing? Now, let's find out what's really going on here. Now you get the picture of what's happening. Why is God doing all this? What was the purpose of all this? Well, it wasn't going to be very long that he was about to go to the cross and they were bearing the witness of his resurrected state. what he would actually look like in his resurrection. Because that was their message. They were going to see him taken up from. In fact, when he appeared to them, he, you know, during that time between the time of the death of his cross and the time that God took him up into the resurrection, he had appeared to them in the natural. But he wasn't in this full glory like he's appearing to John. But they're seeing him in this resurrection. Because God is foreshadowing and showing them what is happening. And so he's taking them and said, I'm showing you because this is what your message is going to be. You're seeing him in his resurrection. But what is really happening here? Remember what we're talking about when John got caught up in the Omega, the Father? Remember the Father is he that is. We'll just call this middle of the church he that is. The left side of the pole is he that was. Amen. This is everything before Adam and all the way up to where he is now. Amen? Okay, that's who he was, and then this is where we want to be. I should get more than that from you, praise God. How many of you love this side of the church? Okay, this is he that is what? To come. This is the Omega. The Alpha and Omega. All right? That's how John, he didn't reveal himself as Alpha Omega anywhere except the book of Revelation. So we saw when John was caught up, he was moved 2,000 years in front of himself. And God set him down to walk out and see everything that we haven't even entered into yet. He watched the whole thing. He was a participant. That's true time habitation. That's inhabiting a future position in God. Not just seeing it, but inhabiting it. And the Lord said, do you see what's going on here? He said, when I pray, when the Father came over me, I was no longer in him that was. I was no longer in him that is. I was in the Father that is to come. I was in a position, watch this, that hadn't even happened yet. There wasn't even legally. There wasn't even legally to happen yet. He was standing in a post-cross resurrection state. Before he went to the cross. Before he went to the cross, the Father, I said, how did you do that? You hadn't paid the price yet. How could the Father glorify you like that? He says, because, first of all, because of the Jordan. I'm like, what? He said, the Jordan. You remember what happened to Jordan? John said, I'm the one that needs to be baptized. He said, no, John. We got to fulfill all righteousness here. You don't understand what's going on here. When I go down today, there is no turning back. Today, I give my life to be buried in baptism. Today, when you bury me in these waters, John, he didn't pour water over me. Baptized. He submerged him. I'm carrying the race of Adam. When you submerge me, my Father's going to come over me. And I'll be legally carrying a brand new dispensation for the world. When I come up, I am bound to the cross. As far as legal positions go, the cross happens today. I am buried today, John. When he come up out of the waters, he come up a new creation. The Father came over him. From that day forth, legally, he was bound to the cross. That happened in the Jordan. That way he could speak and preach a new dispensation because he had buried the old one that day. Isn't that awesome? When he buried the old one, he was free. Father was free. He said, this is my heir. And he freed up with the Holy Spirit upon him and a brand new dispensation was birthed. That was the legal ramification. Therefore, the Father could legally move him past the cross. He could move him anywhere in between. Because legally the new position had been purchased at the Jordan when he baptized John. How many can see what I'm talking about? When the legal position had happened, God was legally now able to move him all the way through. So when he was standing there praying and the Father came over him, he moved him from where he was to where he was going. He moved him not just seeing it, he was living it. God lit him up like a light bulb, lit up his clothes, lit up his countenance as a son. He was standing in the resurrection state before he ever went to the cross. And the disciples saw him in this resurrected state. That was dwelling in him that is to come. He had not happened yet. That resurrection hadn't happened yet. But it happened that day. God translated him into himself. God translated him into himself. I'm going to blow your mind a little bit, but you got to understand this. We are not in kindergarten Christianity here. We are trying to learn how to operate in the glory of God. God the Father inhabiteth eternity. You have a right to dwell with him that is. Moses dwelt with him that was. Took him back 2,500 years. Recorded all the history of Genesis. How could he grasp that kind of detail unless the Father walked him through every single event? Every emotion was recorded. John pushed and moved forward into 2,000 years. God brought him up into the cloud and he resurrected him right there. That was his post-cross resurrection. Countenance was beaming as the sun. While he was doing this, he had to put the disciples under a hypnotic state while he was bringing his son into the resurrection. And then they saw him. They awoke and they saw the glory. They say they saw it. And they saw Moses. And what? Moses? What was Moses? And Elijah were what? They were talking to him. I don't know if you guys love this stuff, but I love this stuff. Moses and Elijah were talking to him, talking about what was going to happen in Jerusalem. He's standing there in his resurrection and says, this is what's going to happen. This is your next phase. After the cross, God the Father, and they're talking about all this. And when they come out of this vision, he tells the disciples, don't tell any man anything that's happened this day until after my resurrection. And they walked around talking about, what does he mean, resurrection? Who's going to be resurrected? They still didn't get it after all that. These guys got so much from God. Half the time they were getting these encounters, they didn't know what was happening to them. You have to read about it. They said they would go and they said, well, what were they talking about? Who's going to get resurrected? Who's going to die and get resurrected? You were looking at him. They never believed that that was God's plan. They wanted God to make him a king. God was going to make him a king, a heavenly one. Amen. But God took him from where he was. This is how the Lord's speaking to me. He said, this is how it's going to happen. It's going to happen through the overshadowing. My people are going to get caught up with me in the last days in an unprecedented manner. And they're going to be brought into places in me. They're going to be brought into levels of wisdom. They're going to be brought into levels of power. They're going to be brought into levels of light and glory. And they're going to come out from these realms and they're going to have answers for humanity. That's far beyond man's answers. That's far beyond the world's answer. They're going to have wisdom that's far beyond. And they're come out from these realms. They're going to have solutions. Amen? Because they've been dwelling with the Father. He's been dwelling in the Father of lights. I'll say this again because some of you didn't get this first time I said this. He was translated in the Father. He wasn't translated in time. He was translated in the Father. Because the Father what? Inhabiteth all things. Where was the Father at? That cloud of glory. The Father could have taken him all the way back to Genesis. It could have took him all the way, because he had already legally died at Jordan. He could have took him all the way into the 1,000 year millennial reign. He had the rights to take him in any one of these places. But where he took him was in the post cross. This place over here. And when he took him there, he literally encountered his own resurrection. Isn't that awesome? What's that mean to you and me? We can literally encounter our promise. What was supposed to take 50 years is not going to take 50 years anymore. We're going to literally start encountering realms of God that were supposed to be for a generation to come, but But we're going to bring us in. God's going to bring us and say, Father, translate me into thine own self. Put your hand over your heart and say, Father, translate me into thine own self. Call me out from the circumstances of darkness, from the systems of darkness, into your marvelous light. This is the operation of the Father of Lights. Amen. This is the stuff where you're going to get called out from where you are into every one of these men that God really used. They were overshadowed. The Lord said it's going to come mostly to the overshadowing. Sometime in the dream state, trance state, but the overshadowing. He goes, get ready for my presence. Not just to invade, but for my people to get caught up. Amen? And in these encounters, there's no telling what type of wisdom or glory or power God will give. But it's coming from a future realm that we're going to start accessing now. Even when you don't think you're ready. How many believe in that encounter? Do you think Peter was ready for any of that? God the Father had to correct Peter right there in front of him. And it was Peter that was probably within months away that was going to be God's spokesperson for the very thing he was talking about. The very thing he was seeing. You're going to be my spokesperson, Peter. You got a long way to go, but listen. He's basically telling them, they're not the ones I'm talking to anymore. Here is my son. See, with open face, beholding as in a mirror, we're changed, transformed, transfigured into the same image. From what? Glory to glory. We're going to start having open face encounters with the Father. Now, give him glory. Hallelujah. He's showing these realms because he marks them by scripture. Why? Because he doesn't want you walking out in things that doesn't have a foundation of his word. The Lord himself was operating with the Father like this. We see John operating. We saw Moses operating like this. They were caught up when the cloud moved towards them. When Peter talked about the cloud came over them. And they entered into that very glory of the Father. Which means we have access. Jesus said it like this, Father, I will that they be with me. We don't understand all that's in this verse. It was the final prayer he ever prayed in the upper room before he went to the cross. One final prayer, John 17, verse 22, I think. Father, I will that they be with me where I am in you, that they may behold my glory that I have with you. For you love me from the foundations of the world. You know what he's saying? Father, I will that they be with me where I am in you. Okay? Where is Christ in the Father? Where is he? Yeah. He's also in the Father that is. He's in the Father that was. And he is in the Father that is to come, and he has no limitation. Because every price has been paid. He is in all places of the Father. Father, I will that they be with me where I am. Where he is for you? Well, that's for you to go find out. Seek the things that are above. Where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father. Set your affections on things above. You're dead. Your life is hidden with Christ in the Father. There's so much to explore in this hour. And the enemy doesn't want anybody touching this realm. He wants us to go to nice social churches and be nice social Christians. He does not want us touching the realms of glory like this. Because he loses his power. It's too late for this house. We're going in. We're entering in the cloud. Where will Jesus take us in this hour? He's the governor of where we land in the Father. He's the governor of what we encounter. He's the one that reveals the Father. The first place he revealed to me was the love of the Father got caught up for a whole year. Transformed me, changed me. Glory to God. Amen. For a whole year. every day in the love of the Father. And it's glorious. Now he's starting to show the light. I see the light. I see the light. There's the Father of lights there. And I'm like, whoa, this is the Father of lights. What is that about? See, you don't know. Because we read it from where we are in Scripture, not from where he is. Those words came out from glory. You can't read them from where you are. You got to read them from where they came from. The Holy Spirit got to come and bring all this glory down to where we are. God might be in the rest for you. But listen, notice where all this happened. Where did all this happen? In the Father. When they prayed, he entered into his Father. Where is this going to happen? What have I been telling you? I'll close. What have I been telling you about the last days? The emphasis on the turn of the century was the restoration of the Holy Spirit. And then you had the emphasis upon Jesus. You're going to see the great emphasis in the last days on the Father's ministry. This is the ministry, listen to me, that the Lord was giving to the apostles, disciple apostles in the upper room when he gave those amazing words. I have a whole series on it. Of 14, 15, 16, and 17, he goes, I'm going to introduce you to what I have with the Father. I'm going to introduce you to where I am. I'm not going to leave you as orphan. I'm going to bring you to him. I'm going to introduce you to him. Then you're going to pray to him. And you're not going to be praying for shoelaces. The stuff we're going to pray is going to change nations. The stuff we're going to pray from this place is going to move nations. The stuff you're going to pray, because I'm going to teach you to think differently. I'm going to introduce you to my Father and the way he thinks. Man, he's amazed me in the last month in ways that I can't even talk about. It's utterly the way he thinks, the way he sees things. The way you don't think you're getting anything done, but you are. How your life can have impact upon the whole world that you never even met. The Father has to show you these things. But when you start transacting with him, you start asking for things. He says, oh, what you're asking for belongs to the realm of light. Now I got to teach you all about this realm. I'm like, can you just give it to me? He goes, I can, but I need you to understand it. Every time I ask for something, I'm like, I go back into a training ground with him. I'm like, could we not go to another training? I want you to actually answer. He goes, I am answering, but you're asking very large. And you're asking for things that are out of your league. You have your Pampers on and you're asking for things that belong to a college student, you know. He said, I'll have to put you through a training on this. This is why we go through these mystery training things. Because the stuff we're asking for belongs to this realm. It's in the Father of lights. Now, Father, translate me into thine own self. When I pray that prayer, I know exactly what I'm praying for. I know exactly where I want to be translated to. I want to go to his mountains. I want to go to the mountains, 7 days of light. You have to get your own mountain. I know what mountain I want. Praise God. You get your mountain, I get my mountain. Praise God. Translate me. See, I kept thinking I'm going to go somewhere, and God said, you're just going to move in me. Everything you're going to do is going to be in me. Now get this before I close. All of this is the Father's ministry. When he said, I will that they be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. There's a big, big prayer there. Because the Father's ministry is everything the Lord encompassed. He said, I do nothing of myself. Everything you see, hear me doing, from doctrine to works to ministry to miracles, all of this is done by my Father. I am doing none of this by myself. Which means that's what he's introducing us to. His full mantle to walk the way he walked. And he's wanting us to understand how this works. Amen. So he's giving us and opening these mysteries. Why did he give the transfiguration? Well, now you know. Praise God. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. Now, before I close, I'm going to say this a third time. Listen to me very carefully. Why is it so important to get to the Father? If your faith doesn't make it to the Father, you're going to operate far below what he wants for you. This is a prophetic generation like no other, and he wants you operating, us operating in the Father in this last days, because this is the stuff we're going to get. You're not going to operate like a normal person. You're not going to operate like a powerless Christian. You're going to function in a realm of supernatural because you're going to function with the Father. And this is part of His ministry, to dwell with He that is and to know Him that is to come. You have to get to the Father for all this to happen. Amen. All of your faith to move to the Father is getting you to a platform where you could start transacting for Him, with Him. Amen. That's why Jesus said, listen, before you pray, enter into your closet. Shut the door. But He said it like this. Before you pray, I'm going to reveal my Father to you. John 16. Here the two I'm speaking in mysteries. But the day cometh where I will openly reveal the Father to you. And then, when I show you the Father, when I introduce you to His love, introduce you to His glory, introduce you to His light, introduce you to how amazing is, then you'll start praying to Him and transacting with Him. That's really what He wants. He wants us to know the Father, then transact. Listen, you start dwelling in He that is to come, He is big. I don't care how big you think, He thinks bigger. He's big, and He will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, because He has you in a level that's not of the world. He has you moving in a level, operating in a level, thinking in a level. Faith, He has your faith in realms that can shift things in the earth. Amen? Listen, you're far greater than your circumstance. The enemy wants to manipulate you all your life to get you caught up in the now, to keep you from this realm of God. I agree that the tears that God's going to have to wipe away in heaven, our own tears, when we see, not ours, not you, because we're going to make it, praise God. But those that could see the capacity, this is all the capacity you have. You sold out for that. You sold out for that. That's going to be a hard day for people to realize all that we could have entered into. The only way is to go up into the Father yourself. What you're looking for, man cannot give you. Let's give Him glory. Hallelujah. The only way you can see is abide in the Lord. You cannot see if you're not abiding in Him. I don't care how wise you are, you can, how much knowledge you have, you cannot see. This kingdom is not built on knowledge, it's built on revelation knowledge. And revelation knowledge comes from the light of God, and light only comes to those who abide. Amen? But if you abide, you can see. And if you can see, your compass will remain straight. And you'll keep moving from glory to glory, from strength to strength. And every one of us in this house, I decree, will appear in Zion before the Father. Everyone in this house will move from glory to glory. I break every chain. I loose the cords that bind. I sever. Put your hand over your heart right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I sever the cords that bind. I sever the chain that bind. I break all things that bind me to the earth. Father, I present my spirit for ascension. I present my spirit for resurrection. Listen, what He entered into is our right to enter into now. You've been raised together with Him, made to sit together with Him, far above the principalities and the powers of this world. We have a right to dwell in resurrection life.